I'm Carol Hills, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. For more than 20 years, a Christian militia group known as the Lord's Resistance Army terrorized Uganda. The LRA's leader, Joseph Kony, claimed to have magical powers. His aim was to take over the northern part of Uganda. And to do that, he depended mostly on child soldiers. An estimated 30,000 children were taken from their homes and forced to live in the wilderness and to fight. That includes thousands of young girls who were abducted, trafficked, and forced into sexual slavery. Today, the Ugandan government says the LRA is no longer a threat, and the hunt for Joseph Kony was officially called off recently. But the problem he and his group created is far from over. For our series this week on human trafficking, our Across Women's Lives project focused on what happens to all those boys and girls who were missing for decades and then come back from the wild. The World's Jasmine Garst has the story.
When he was 11 years old, a group of rebel soldiers came into Kenneth Banya's village. They told Kenneth that they were lost, and they asked if he could show them the way out of town. Kenneth's father told them, no, he can't give you directions. Because Kenneth's father knew exactly how this was going to end. The rebel soldiers insisted. They pointed and said, just walk us to that tree over there and tell us how to get out of town. And so Kenneth went with them. And when he got to that tree, they ordered him to keep walking. Kenneth never turned around. He was a child soldier now. One of the first things you might notice when you come to Uganda is the color of the earth, a deep ochre. In cities like Gulu, which is up north, the traffic whips up a reddish dust that covers everything. The motorcycles are mostly to blame. Hundreds of them swarm around. They're called bodabodas. And they're the closest thing to a taxi here. That's how I meet Kenneth.
So is this like rush hour traffic?
Yeah.
He's 43 now. He gives me a ride downtown and ends up talking about how, after they took him, those soldiers trained him to fight. If you're surprised by how open Kenneth is with me about his story, you shouldn't be. There are so many people like him here. Many of the abducted children eventually came home, often to find their families had been killed, their villages wiped out. And all they knew how to do was survive in the wild. The Ugandan government scrambled to reintegrate them into society. But Uganda is a poor country. People like Kenneth were given 3 months of psychological counseling, a mattress, soap, and a change of clothing. And this was with the help of foreign aid groups. As the conflict wound down, so did the aid. Driving through town, we passed by a lot of places that used to be. This used to be a hospital for former abductees. That there used to be a rehabilitation center. This was once a school for children born in the bush. What remains are a handful of non-governmental organizations. And there's something else I learn. A collective disgust towards people like Kenneth. He says every day people call him a killer. They say he did bad things out there, in the wild. And here's the problem. People are right. He remembers it vividly. Kenneth says this one time he looted a village. He and other LRA soldiers killed civilians. He says he wished he hadn't done it. And he wishes people understood he was a kid, and he was terrified and hungry. And he was one of those fighters who was given a child bride out there. She was 8 years old. He was 13. He knows she didn't want to be there. You know what, he tells me? None of us did. So he says when people say he's a bad man, he just tells them that maybe they're right. I am a dangerous man, so leave me alone. But Kenneth isn't alone. He has a wife and a family. He wishes the government would still assist him, but what they gave him was enough to get him back on his feet. And he has his friends, the other taxi drivers. A lot of them are former child soldiers. I say goodbye and watch Kenneth join his friends at a nearby taxi stand. And I realize, this is the story as told by men. Men who were once scared boys and are now leathery and tired, with scars and bullets still buried deep in their flesh. Men who rest on their motorcycles in the shade, remembering the days in which they were taken away and forced to fight. But where did all the girls go? Of all the children who were taken from their homes by the LRA, many were girls. They were trafficked and forced to marry soldiers and lieutenants. What happened to them? I leave the city of Gulu and head to the countryside. I've been told there's a woman there who I should speak to. Rural Uganda is lush and green at this time of year. Under the shade of a massive jackfruit tree, I meet a woman named Pasca Akwero. Pasca was snatched in the middle of the night. She was 12, and she was given as a gift to none other than Joseph Kony, leader of the LRA, known for his ruthlessness, who claimed to have magical powers. Pasca says she was terrified. He raped her, and soon she was pregnant with a baby boy. She says the baby distressed her. She figured he didn't stand a chance out here in the middle of a war. And she also worried, what if he took after his father? So one day, when he was 2 years old, Pasca walked into a field. The baby was asleep. She laid him under the tall stalks. And she walked away. Would you like to meet him? She asks me. He's out there planting potatoes. That day, 15 years ago, Pasca eventually went back into the fields. Her child was still asleep. She picked him up in her arms and did the only thing she knew how to do. Keep going. She leads us through the waist-tall grass. Pasca is barefoot and wearing a raggedy blue shirt that reads, in washed-out letters, Association of Ex-LRA Abductees and Survivors. When she finally escaped the LRA, her son was 7. They went through that government reintegration process. They gave her the counseling, the blanket, the mattress, the soap. But here's what they couldn't give her back: a community. And this is a problem women face here. They are often shunned by other women, considered ineligible to remarry. They are prone to slide into poverty. Boys can come back and they can get an education. But when girls come back from the wild, they often do so with babies to raise and take care of. School is not an option. And those babies, the children of LRA fighters, are unwelcome reminders that not so long ago, in this paradise, something horrendous happened. We finally arrive at the field, where a wiry boy is working the land. They have a small plot. He and Pasca live off what they grow. He turns around, and I hold in a gasp. He's the spitting image of his father, Joseph Kony. Pasca watches him. He's a wonderful boy, she tells me. He loves me. I love him. He's the only person who helps me. Sometimes I look at him and I remember the time I almost left him in the field, and I realize I would have made a mistake. Back then, she dreamt what all the children dragged into the wilderness in the night dreamt of, running away. But when she finally managed to leave, she found out that girls don't always get to come back home. For the world, Jasmine Garst, Gulu, Uganda.
Tomorrow, Jasmine tells us about one inspiring woman who helps formerly abducted girls learn skills and build community. Her weapons, a needle and some thread.
Stitching. One stitch at a time. It's like stitching your life one stitch at a time.
That's coming up tomorrow, right here on The World.